Good morning, Laguna Beach. It's Craig on KX 93 Radio. We're here. It's 70 degrees and it's the first day of September. September's coming in a little subdued today, I have to say. But we're glad you're here. We have two fabulous guests this morning. And we touch on a subject that is a bit sensitive for many people. And it was brought, I think, we in response to a tragic event this last week. And, you know, there are many tragic events, but this one seemed very poignant to me. That was a 9-year-old young man who took his life. So we're going to talk about that. We have some people, some guests here today that I will introduce. Say hello, Sade.
Shadi, hi.
Shadi.
How are you?
I called you Sade for 2 weeks, haven't I?
I know. It's okay. Yeah, Sade okay. is good.
Shadi.
I'll stick with that.
Shadi. And then we have Jim Taylor.
Well, good morning, Craig. And I don't call her Shadi. I just call her ma'am because I can never get it straight.
Thank you for that. Oh, I appreciate that. Before we get to our guests and a little bit about them, I'm going to do a few announcements and do some housekeeping here. I want to thank our sponsor, Mike Johnson. He's been with us for, it's actually, Mike, if you're listening, you've been with us as a sponsor for almost a year now. So I think it's about this time a year ago we started Rainbow Radio. And we're still here, and we're still alive, and we're still hopefully making a major contribution to the community. Rainbow Radio, if you don't know, is about everything LGBTQ in the community in Laguna Beach. We do have a far reach. We reach as far as India and Guyana, but really all over the world, wherever people want to tune in. So I'll shout out to the UK today because we have a lot of listeners out there as well. So that's our housekeeping for today. I wanted to explain our guests here. It's always best to put words in front of them because, you know, usually people, unless they're terribly narcissistic, don't talk about themselves too much. And we won't talk about narcissistic people in this in this context here. So I start with Shadi. She's been here before, but we call her back because she's so dang good, and she's going to be back in November. Is it November 3rd?
November 3rd, yes.
Yeah, with World Kindness.
Yes.
Which is another... Being kind and being good to people is another important thing. So she is the founder of Ability Awareness Project in Laguna Beach, a nonprofit that provides anti-bullying education for children, parents, and educators. She's also an official founding member of the World Kindness USA and the Goodwill Ambassador for World Kindness for the City of Laguna Beach. As of July, she started a kindness initiative in town to help our city towards becoming internationally recognized as a World Kindness City. She also works as a film composer, piano teacher, enjoys yoga, beach walks, art walks, and gelato. When do you have any time for yourself?
Oh, the gelato and the art walk and the yoga, those are all me time.
They're priorities. And then for the first time ever here on KX93.5, it is Jim Taylor. He is the chairman of the Orange County chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP, and is dedicated to helping to remove the stigma of suicide, encouraging dialogue, and bringing it out of the darkness. And that I think the darkness is probably an important word there. When he's not working on suicide prevention, Jim is working as a comedian, president of the San Juan Capistrano Fiesta Association, the Swallows Day Parade, and chairman of the Laguna Niguel Holiday Parade. You're busy too, Jim.
Who would have thought I'd grow up to be the parade guy?
Do you get to march out front of the band with a big...
I don't. I'm working. I'm always working the events.
So oh.
Half the time, I don't even see it.
You're behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Well, I've been to the Swallows parade several times, and it's a lot of fun, yeah. So to preface what some of the conversations that are some of where I want to take this group, because I think it's tragic, and we want to be... That what happened this last week, we want to give people some hope and some optimism about what they can do. Because I think the biggest thing is that feeling of alone, and it's probably one of the major contributors. But before we get to, I hate to do this, but I'm going to give you some statistics. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. So it's needs to come out of the corners of darkness and into the...
And can I add to that?
Yes.
It's the number one cause of preventable death.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very important.
Yeah.
Very important. Yes.
And we could make it more prevented. So it's a number one. In each year, 44,965 people died by suicide. Those are the ones that they can count. For every suicide, there are 25 attempts, and there's the window to hopefully, you know, help to that person so that they don't view the world in very negative way. Suicide costs, though, this really doesn't matter, $69 billion annually. I find that the money's not the point. The annual age-adjusted suicide rate is, there's 13,000 per 100,000 individuals. Men die by suicide 3.5 times more than women. On average, there are 123 suicides per day. These are as in California. And white males account for 7 of 10 of suicides in 2016. And I could go on and on. I don't want to really go too far. Let's just say that it being number 10 in the leading cause of deaths, and as Jim just said, being preventable, that's why we're here.
It's the third leading cause for children. Third leading cause of death, which is when bullying is happening and then suicide happens after. So suicide, bullying-related suicide is the third leading cause of death.
Well, there's one other statistic that I saw on the news after this suicide, that if you're LGBTQ identified person, you're 4 times more likely.
Yes.
And the fact that this young kid, the people that were bullying him said you should kill yourself, was a major contributor to, it sounds like to me, that he felt that's the right thing to do, you know. Mm-hmm. So I will preface, I want to go a little on about the gay thing and how much more difficult it is. I feel it's always difficult. No, I won't deny that, but it's difficult with the gay. There were a group of 4 scholars in England in the 50s, and they all got outed. They all were educators, and I forget what they call them when you're for a college, you're a responsible person that kind of coordinates everything for the colleges. But they were all very professional in their own right, and two of them had horrible endings, and the one survivor of all 4 of them years later said, you know, you've got to realize that at the time we were gay, it was against the law, so you could be incarcerated. It was against all religions, and so you're going to go to hell, and it was considered a mental illness. So all those things, against the law, mental illness, and morally reprehensible, made it very difficult for a multitude of people. And a multitude of people suffered in silence. So, and I think there's still that, some of that element, although it's getting better, much better. I never thought I would be hosting a radio show when I was 14 in Wairika, and that I would be hosting a radio show in Southern California one day where the topic is predominantly LGBTQ. So that's enough about me. Let's get on to my 2 fabulous guests here. Sade, you know, you started pursuing this path, mm-hmm. and was there a moment in your life where something triggered this, you to, your passion to want to do this?
Absolutely. My own son was horribly being bullied ever since 3rd grade. Now, any child that is different in one way or another, so he could be LGBT, in his case, he lives with autism. So it makes them not be able to socialize as well, make eye contacts. It's difficult for him. So kids point him out and say, you know, you retard, you this, you don't belong here. And it started with that, and it got way, way worse. And it's something that continues on. I think in this case, however, we know that children who are different, or when they come out to be different, this boy, when he comes out and tells his parent that I'm gay, and I'm glad the parent says, I love you anyway. This is great. This is all good. So far, so good. But when he says, I want to dress differently and go to school, parent needs to have their antennas up and really pay attention and talk to the kid that a lot of people are going to come to you and say, mean things. Yeah. Because you have to prepare the kids. You know, as an adult, when you come out, it's different. You kind of know the precautions. You know what's going to happen. You know a lot of people, even your mom, dad, uncle, whoever, is going to stand up and say, no, you're not doing the right thing, or you're this, you're that. And you're kind of prepared when you come out because you have the verbal tools, the emotional tools that you need to deal with the aftermath when you come out. But as a kid, you don't. And when other kids come to you and say, you should go kill yourself, you think that this is it.
Right.
This is the end of my life. And that is whenever. The thing is, you know, with suicide and bullying, a lot of people think, oh, if you're being bullied, then is that leading to suicide? It doesn't. But bullying leads to depression, and depression leads to suicide. And you have to see if whatever is happening in your life, any kind of a trauma or any kind of a big event that happens in your life could push you to go towards depression and have mental health issues. So if you see that something is happening to your child and it's going that way, you need to really, really be there and talk. And be patient and be calm and give them tools, give them the ways that how they could protect themselves. Talk to them every day how they need to be standing up for themselves. And if this school environment is not the right one for you, I will change it, even if I have to homeschool you, because being in you is important to me. These are the conversations that parents can have. And if this child had that direction, I think it would have been different.
So say if you're a parent and your child said, Dad, Mom, I'm gay, and they were young,
mm-hmm.
From what you've said here, it perhaps the next immediate step of that parent, it took them totally off guard.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't grasp it, but they're not prepared either for it.
Yes.
Where can they go? What can they do?
Well, there's a lot of counseling centers that they could go to. In Orange County, there's two centers that we work with. If you are in Orange County, Laguna Beach, or anywhere in Orange County, we work with Living Success Center. Can I give phone numbers?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Their phone number is 949-645-4723. And the other place is Western Youth Services. Western Youth Services can also go to schools if the school has signed a contract with them and help the kid at the school as well. And their number is 714-871-5646. But the thing is, the parents need to really pay attention if there is something happening to your child that is going to kind of have them stick out in the crowd, let's say. Or you need to make sure that you're on top of it and you give them the tools that they need so they know what to do when people come to them and they are being mean to them, how they can stand up for themselves. If they're filled up with messages of positivity already at home,
yeah.
Then when they go out and they hear these things from other people, it's easier to bounce them off,
okay.
Right? Because you keep telling him, just, I love you the way you are. You are perfect the way you are. And then when he goes out there and somebody says, you're this, you're that, mm-hmm. They're going to have it in one ear and out of the other.
You know, and as you say that, though, I worry about the parent that doesn't have that close of a relationship with their child.
Yes.
That to say that they love their child, they go, oh, Mom, oh, Dad, oh, you're so fuddy-duddy.
Yes.
And they go and go after the culture at school, and then the culture at school becomes very abusive.
Yes.
So if a parent feels like they're not reaching their child and they know the child's at risk,
mm-hmm.
Then it's even more imperative that they get
help.
Yeah.
They have to get help. If you don't know what to do, always get help.
Now, Jim, we've been talking a lot about youth. But it's not limited to youth. In fact, I looked at the statistics, and in some cases, the highest incidence of suicide is in the 70s.
Right.
If you're in your 70s, but your organization, can you tell us a little bit about your organization?
Well, our organization exists for a couple of reasons. Our primary focus is, like you said in the bio, is to take suicide out of the darkness, bring it into the light, take it out of the closet, take it out of the shadows, have people talk about it for. Ever, it was the S word. You didn't talk about suicide.
Right.
If you were thinking about suicide, there's something wrong with you. You're mentally ill. That was the big thing. It was classified as a mental illness. It used to be illegal. It used to be illegal to attend. If you
so there's some parallels between being gay.
Yeah.
And,
and it's like, okay, this is a little silly. You survived an attempt at suicide, and now you're a criminal. Not a whole lot of thought went into it, and I think that was also the moral side coming in. Where
yeah, religion, it's an abomination.
With the senior citizens, it's a whole different dynamic when it comes to suicide. I mean, they realize that there's a lot of medical issues, there are mental health issues, there are environmental and occupational issues, financial issues, and also just the depression of realizing that you quite possibly could be at the end of the road anyway.
Right.
The younger people it's just horrific. I mean, in 2016, the CDC started tracking suicides in the 6 to 8-year-old range. We have 6-year-olds who are taking their lives.
Oh, my gosh.
As of 2016, it was about 250 a year nationwide, and a much higher number who did not succeed. And the number one answer from these children who were interviewed is to, hey, what was going on? Why did you do this? I don't fit in. I don't belong. You know, so try and get your head around that. 6-year-olds actually have the cognitive ability to go out there and think about ending it. Now, what we found is suicide is less about killing yourself. It's more about ending the pain. So if you go to somebody who's contemplating suicide, thinking about suicide, and you ask them flat out, okay, listen, if I can take away your pain right now, just wave a wand over you, take away the pain, do you want to die? And I've never had anybody say anything other than no. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're not talking about you dying here. We're talking about you ending your pain. We come flat out right now. If we suspect somebody is thinking of suicide, we don't pussyfoot around. Are you thinking about ending your life? Are you thinking about taking your life? Are you thinking about suicide? Sometimes that'll shock people into reality, and they're like, oh, no, I'm just having some problems. All right, cool. Other times people come flat out and say, actually, yeah.
Well,
you know, they appreciate the fact that you actually just hit them in the face with a brick and ask them if they're thinking about taking their own lives. We try to get resources to them. We're not a counseling organization, but we do provide resources. Mostly what we do is advocacy. We have representatives we send to Fresno and also to Sacramento and to Washington. We descend on Congress like locusts. You know, there'd be 500 of us in Washington, D.C. on the same day hitting all the congressmen and senators' offices with issues related to mental health and suicide prevention. The state capitol, we do the same thing, not with as many people, but we'll have, you know, 30, 40, 50 people. We actually, I don't know, Shadi has that cool thing that you put out there, all the little cutouts of the kids, to give them a visual perspective of what it is we're dealing with. What we do at the state capitol is we bring everybody brings a pair of tennis shoes, and they put them on the capitol steps, just so anytime they look out their window, they see all these empty shoes.
Oh, wow.
Representing somebody that we lost. In Orange County, unfortunately, our statistics are way behind. The Orange County Health Services, the most recent data I have is from 2014, but the average suicide rate in Orange County is one a day. In Orange County.
Oh, in Orange? Oh.
And we actually, personally, I suspect it's a little bit higher, maybe a lot higher. And that's not counting the veterans. Veterans is a whole different conversation. But those statistics show that 4 cities in Orange County have the highest suicide rate in the 15 to 19-year-old range. San Clemente, Seal Beach, Huntington Beach, and Laguna Beach.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. The beach cities over the inner...
in the 15 to 19-year-old range. And wow. What's interesting about that is people will say, why? I mean, obviously, somebody has to fall to the top of the list. Somebody has to fall to the bottom. Statistics can be manipulated, but when they just look at the raw numbers, that's where they're falling out. Obviously, the highest suicide rate in the senior citizens is Laguna Woods. There's a huge concentration of senior citizens in Laguna Woods, so naturally that's going to fall. But why San Clemente, Seal Beach, Huntington Beach, Laguna Beach, affluent communities? Yep. Somebody once said, well, it's all the sober living facilities. I don't know, a whole lot of 15-year-olds that are living in sober living facilities. So I think a lot of it touched on what Shadi said earlier. We go back to the family unit. And I don't care if the issues are mental health or LGBTQ or depression, chemical imbalance, environmental issues, pressuring at school. Communication with the family is huge. We grew up, and a lot of us are a little bit older, we didn't really hear much about this. Now, part of it is it was buried. You know, it was a taboo subject. But growing up, I don't know one kid that I went to school with in elementary school or junior high school that died by their own hand. I know plenty that died in car accidents, got hit by cars, things like that. Big difference is we used to have the family dinners. We used to sit around the table.
Yeah.
My parents used to talk to me. They would spot things, you know. It's now Okay, just another quick thing. Everybody that I've ever spoken to who's lost somebody to suicide has never come to me and said, I knew they were going to do it. I knew it. I saw the signs. I knew it. And almost everybody's like, I didn't see it. I had no clue. They start working back. And, of course, hindsight's 20/20, and they start seeing signs that maybe were there and weren't there. They were withdrawn. They were playing video games. They weren't talking. Yeah. They were hanging out with the wrong crowd. They were drinking. They were, you know, taking drugs. Well, that describes an awful lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the bottom line is get to know your kids.
The topic of not being able to see it is really disturbing, because you always want, I feel like you always want to help, but the people are, I guess they get in such a level of disability they can't ask for it, and they're embarrassed, and they're worried about the stigma of it, and to them it's easier to end the pain. And for me, I went to visit a friend, surprised him on a Sunday, and me and another friend, and I was insistent that he come out and have lunch with us. And 4 weeks later, he had confessed that he had made plans that day. Had I not encouraged him to come out and realize that he had friends.
Wow.
That.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I guess the point here is you never know. You should try to be as aware and be, but you never know. Sometimes you just being kind or being nice, which comes back to kindness, mm-hmm. Shadi, mm-hmm. Is an important thing to do for a lot of people. Just to say hello, you know, it can change a person's whole day and their
Absolutely.
Perspective.
But, exactly.
But I do think, and maybe this is where I kind of want to go with, I guess, kind of, I don't want to call it an illness, but when you get into a dark hole, I don't think that you're capable of pulling yourself out at some point. It's very difficult. You need help. You need help. And sometimes it's hard to get to them when they're so far into that dark hole. Is that fair to say?
Well, and that's why we have laws in place. I mean, you can actually go in 5150, put them in a 72-hour lockup if it gets to that point, and then mm-hmm. the professionals will come in there and force a
evaluate.
Treatment. And try and get them back on their feet. Yes, it's once they get that deep, it's tough to pull them out with anything. I mean, if you get diagnosed with cancer and you ignore it and just let it grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, and then one day you've got stage 4 colon cancer, and then you go, okay, I need help. You know, it's a little tough. You know, we need to try to get to them.
That's a good comparison.
Get to them before it becomes stage 4 suicide.
Right. Right.
With children, I would say I did that all through my son's life, because in the beginning he was nonverbal. He wouldn't talk much. Let's say if he had knee pain, which he did have knee issues, I had to sit through. I knew there was something wrong, but I had to go through a whole list. Are you hungry? No. Are you this? He would say no and yes and no. Right now he's all verbal, but but back then I had to go through a list to, are you in pain? And then let's see, okay, now where is the pain? Is it in the head? Is it in the knee? Oh, it's the knee. Okay. And I think it's a good strategy to pick up with your kids every day to say, are you in pain? Is everything good with you? Just to make sure you're checking in always to see if there's any issues. How was your day? Has anything come up? Do you want to talk about anything?
Right.
It's just keep that conversation going. The
door open, yeah.
Exactly, with the kids. And keep asking, even if they don't want to talk about it, keep asking. Mm-hmm. Keep asking.
I asked, in fairness to the two of you, I asked Shadi what moment triggered her. Jim, did you have a life experience that said, you know, I want to be involved in this?
Well, I mean, yeah, I had a life experience when I was 18 years old, but I not very many people knew about it. And I kind of kept it quiet. And then only the people who knew about it, you know, we would talk about it. But I was at the Improv performing, and I don't know, 5-6 years ago, somebody came up and said, do you do charity work? Sure. Yeah. Do you ever MC events? Of course. Well, we're having a walk to prevent suicide in Fountain Valley. And I went, all right, what do I have to do? And they told me. And then, so then I went back and I said, okay, this is suicide prevention group. I've never done that. I've done abused children. I've done animal rescues, a shock hospital. I've never done suicide
Bring it
prevention.
On.
A long list, huh?
You know, what kind of jokes? Oh, my God. What can I do? And I was like, all right, I'm just going to play it straight. And then I started thinking, you know, this is a good time to out myself.
Yeah.
And I'd never told my story publicly. And that day, there was 1,400 people.
Oh, my. So you start big, huh?
Yeah, I just figured, you know what? Well, I'm not one of those that believes that everything is all planned out for you. But I do think that things are put in front of you for a reason sometimes. Yeah. Maybe I think that because I can't explain it any other way, that somebody was pulling a string. But I've always liked to work for charities and nonprofits where I have an opportunity to actually make a difference. I mean, United Way is great. Goodwill is great. They're massive. They're huge. I'm a drop in the bucket. I'm not going to make a change. I'm not going to actually affect any change for those organizations. They're massive. At the time, AFSP was grassroots. It was very small. Orange County didn't even have a chapter at the time. You know, we were piggybacking on a Los Angeles chapter, and we were a chapter in formation. I'm like, okay, this is grassroots. This is beginning.
Yeah.
They asked me to be on the board, and I said no. And then they said, will you be on the nominating committee? And I said, sure, because I know a lot of people. Then they nominated me for chairman. And I went, okay, what?
Lesson learned.
Yeah. And then that was 5 years ago. So I've just been doing it. My story was I was an angry teenager. You know, and I did have the parents. I had the normal childhood. I mean, I had the parents that talked to me. I was bullied. The difference is my dad told me that if you get bullied, you beat the snot out of the bully. Oh. And I'll back. And I did. I mean, in high school.
That was a mentality.
I got
a long
bullied.
Time.
And also when I was in high school at the time, I'm way older than everybody in this room. But if you got into a fight in school, you were both in trouble. You both got suspended. Didn't matter who started it, who finished it. You two were involved. You're both out, and so that was. And so I told my dad, I said, "Yeah, if I hit this guy, if I hit him back, I do something. I'm out of school." He goes, "I got your back." So sure enough, one day the guys came at me. It was three or four of them, and I beat the snot out of one of them. I got suspended. My dad came, picked me up, said, "Let's not tell your mother." And I was out of school for 3 days, and my mom never knew. And those guys never bothered me again. So it's. But I had other issues. I had anger issues, and I don't even know where they were coming from. And then one day, I took a bottle of pills. I was 18 years old. It was January 1979.
Wow.
And I woke up in the morgue. Actually, I was dead on arrival.
Pronounced
dead. They notified my family to come and pick me up, and I woke up in the morgue. That's another experience.
Oh, my gosh.
I won't go into it. But then I went into a coma for 3 days, and my at the time, insurance wouldn't pay for suicide. And so my dad told me that the insurance company was sending a psychiatrist down to evaluate me, and if it was deemed that I tried to die by suicide, then insurance wouldn't pay. So I completely snowed a psychiatrist who had the express purpose of trying to prove I was suicidal so he wouldn't have to pay. He signed off on the fact that it was an accidental overdose. So my message was to all these victims... family people who have lost somebody, lost a loved one to suicide, you can feel sad. You know, you can be really upset by this. You can be angry, but do not feel guilty. You know, do not feel guilty about this. This person did it. You have to take care of yourself. I was an 18-year-old kid. I snowed a psychiatrist into believing that I was just a goofy kid who made a mistake and did something dumb and oops, my bad. And what chance do you have? I mean, so, you know, don't carry the guilt around. The signs may be there. They may not be there.
Right.
You know, it's in hindsight, we can dissect everything after. Oh, yeah. But don't you remember when he said, this is just killing me? Or don't you remember when he started wearing black clothes?
Yeah, you start questioning every little detail of the of what went on in that person's life. Every little minute detail.
You talk to them. You learn who their friends are. You don't badger them. If you suspect a problem, I called 911. I one of the first times I debated about calling 911. When you're involved, and I'm sure you get this idea too, when you're involved in suicide prevention, you become a little bit of a beacon. So I get Facebook messages, and I get emails, and I get phone calls from people who are thinking about taking their own lives, or their kid is thinking, or their kid's friend, which always turns out to be their kid anyway. And I had a lady Facebook message me that she was going to do it. And I called 911 on her and debated about it because I'm like, oh, she's going to hate me. She's just talking. She didn't really do it. And the paramedics got there. She was like, no, I'm fine. And like the paramedics stuck around. And within about 5 minutes, she passed out on the front lawn. They picked her up, put her on the gurney, took her to the hospital, 72-hour lockup. And then she did a voluntary 72 afterwards. And then she went and got treatment, and she's good to go.
Well,
so you don't want to, what's the worst that's going to happen if you call 911 on somebody, or if you confront them about suicide? The worst thing that's going to happen is they get mad at you.
Exactly.
You know, what's the best thing that could happen? You could completely save their life right there.
Absolutely. Oh my God.
You know, so it's kind of put it in perspective. If she's going to be mad at me because I did this. Oh, you know what? She probably would have been dead because she would have been in a room. She took a whole bottle of pills. Paramedics were there when she collapsed. Perfect.
Wow. They were probably, in their experience, told them to be a little cautious.
Yeah, thank God for that paramedic, because his intuition or experience, he went, yeah, something's going to happen here. Let's just wait, guys.
I had an experience, I think I've mentioned it before, but I was 14 and realized I was gay, and felt that the examples I saw in my life were not very attractive, being gay, and I, you know, all the usual, the religion doesn't support you, essentially, and I went and got my dad's pickup, and I was crying. I locked the doors, and it's outside, away from the house and the family, and as I was laying down on the seat crying, my hand touched his .22 pistol under the seat, and I thought, okay, this is the message that I should do this, and fortunately, I thought about it for a while, and then I thought, well, if I do it, I won't know the rest of the story, is kind of what prompted me. I said, I'll just stick around and see what the rest of the story is, you know. So that was my moment. But I think after that, and I think at that point I dismissed it, because I'd gone there and thought about it, but then for me, I dismissed it. And I think that realizing I was just going to go along and accept whatever it was part of that process. So I do think sometimes people go through that process and they come out on the other side fairly quickly. But I do think that the statistic that there's 25 attempts, and we'll never know how many people are on a motorcycle or in a car that unexpectedly goes off the road, you know, those kind of situations, that should be part of those statistics, you know. You'll never know. And it's the same with being gay. So many people, they hide it. The fighter pilot that took a fighter jet and crashed it into the mountain, I don't know, it was probably 8 or 10 years ago. And no one could say why he did it, but then it came out later that he was struggling with being gay and being in the military. And the pressure of his family and being in the military was part of that. They assume, you'll never really know. But so, you never know. It's a interesting and thought-provoking topic we have here with Sade and Jim Taylor. We're going to take a short music break and pick up the happiness level a little bit, and we'll be back on the other side of this song. All right.
Shine on, diamond, don't make me wait another day.
Oh my God, I need to cough.
'Cause passion is passion, you know it just as well as me. Now let's stop running from love, running from love. Let's stop, my baby. Let's stop running from us, running from us. Let's stop, my baby. Oh my, my, my. Buzz cut, I've got my tongue between your teeth. Go slow, no, go fast. You like it just as much as me. Now let's stop running from love, running from love. Let's stop, my baby. Let's stop running from us, running from us. My, my, my. I die every night with you.
be the last night ever. Should be the last night we're apart. Got my name on this treasure. On this treasure. Oh my, my, my.
My, my, my. That was Troye Sivan. He's a young artist that has a YouTube sensation and with his music, and it's all very good music, and he is an LGBTQ person. I think he's like 20 years old. Top of the charts.
Yay.
Yay. So we're all good about that.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm here with Sade. Sade.
Sade is good, too. Sade.
And Jim Taylor. And we're here. So, you know, it's a difficult subject, but I want to keep it on a high note here. That there are a lot of people out there that care about a lot of people that would like to do what they can to shed some light on this sad topic that we're talking about here today, but an important one. And when I thought about bringing it on the show, I thought about a lot of things, but I thought, you know, the importance of it outweighs all the other stuff. So that's why we're here, to talk about it. If as a result of today's program, that we have some successes, or that we have contributed to some good events or bad events not happening, and some good events where people discover that life is a wonderful thing, then it's worth our time and being here today. I think we'll all agree on that. So, Sade. Mm-hmm. Sade, where I'm particularly interested is what the program you're doing in for the young adults.
Yes.
And it, I guess it includes this demographic that Jim was talking about. The, what was that in the beach cities, Jim?
The 15 to 19 year old range.
15 to 19 year old range. Yes. Is that included in the Stop Bullying?
Yes.
Program?
Yes, it is.
And you go to schools and work with teachers and parents at the same time?
Not at the same time. We have three different presentations. One is for kids, one is for parents, one is for educators, because everyone's responsibility is different. But we have a total of 10 presentations, depending on the age group of the kids. And sometimes I'm asked to speak at churches as well, and I did like a youth resilience workshop at Mission Viejo as well. And it depends where I'm going, and I'll change what I need to be talking about to make sure that the audience is getting the most out of it. But definitely, when I'm talking to the kids, it's mostly about unity, kindness, friendship, how to be a good friend, how to be a good, decent human being,
right.
Interconnectedness, coming together, being kind, caring about one another, and just really looking out for the ones that are maybe lonely. See who's alone, go say hi, you know, give them a call. And what to do also, another thing that I wanted to mention was what's different now than when we were kids is cyberbullying, right? So when we were kids, we would go home, we were safe. We were at home and, you know, nobody would bug us. If we had bullies at the school, that was the end of it when we go home. Now, no.
If it's 24/7.
It's 24/7. If you pick your nose at 10 a.m., you know, 10 p.m., there are still people posting stuff about it, and thousands get involved with one post.
Yeah, what is the approach with cyberbullying with your program?
So with children, it's different, of course. They need to be conscious about, they need to be taught. Right now, as young as second graders have cell phones. And they need to know what to post, what not to post. What do you have the right to post? What's going to hurt people? And two things I always tell them is that what you're saying, what you're posting, is it true? And then they say, oh, yeah, it's true. Okay, if it's true, second question, is it kind? If it's not kind, don't post it.
Right.
The thing is, the web, especially when they get older in the middle school and high school, we talk about whatever it is that you're posting online is going to stick there. It's like a sticky spider web, the internet. It's going to stick there forever. Let's say later on you want to go to this college and Duke University is looking you up to see, okay, am I going to give this kid a scholarship? They're going to go and look at your social media. What kinds of stuff have you posted? If you've been mean to people, forget it. You're not going to get in. You're not going to get a scholarship. You're going to lose your chances. Especially this goes also when you graduate college and you want to find a good job. It will follow you.
I have a retort to that a little bit. Is that you shouldn't do it. You should not do it because you're worried about getting into college. You should not do it because it is a bad thing to do.
Exactly.
And in the scope of humanity, I don't know, that's just being cruel and unkind.
Exactly.
And now, for those reasons, you should.
Absolutely. You know. I'm all with you. And the bystanders and the ones who are getting bullied, get that. The ones that do the bullying, we don't know. They could be psychopaths. They could just...
That's true.
They could be not empathetic. They may not even understand empathy. But you have to go from a selfish point of view. Think about yourself. What kind of future do you want? You want this or you want to go to jail? You know? It's basically... you need to make sure that they understand what the consequences are for themselves alone if they are not empathetic towards other people.
So what's on your list of programs that you're doing in the near future? Is there anything we should know about?
We are going to High School Inc. next month. There's going to be about 2,000 kids over there, which I'm really excited about.
High School Inc. Incorporated?
Yes.
So it's several high schools together one location?
I think so. I'm not sure exactly how the program is set up, but I know there's a lot of high school kids, and it's in Santa Ana.
Santa Ana, okay.
And we have our public event happening on October 6th on Main Beach, as we do, just to raise awareness. Talking about that, the vigils that we set up, I want to say that if your child is having problem, when I look at the vigils, I've read every story about 10, 20 times and cried with everyone, but that doesn't matter right now. But one thing that sticks out right now is the antidepressant pills. Don't be so quick to put them on antidepressant pills, just because a lot of these kids that I am sitting on their vigils, they have been on antidepressant, and I think they may numb them if it's not the right antidepressant. You have to really make sure that the doctors are watching them while they are on antidepressant. If it's not the right one, change it.
My thought on antidepressants, it is a stopgap measure while you get counseling. It's not something just to wipe it out and hope that you get better, right?
A lot of people do, unfortunately. It's like, okay, my kid he's not happy. Let's give him a pill, make him happy. You know, that's the mentality, you know. And a lot of times we see that a kid, may have some challenges, but once they go on the pill, they start taking their lives or have suicidal thoughts.
Right.
And it says in the writing that you could have suicidal thoughts with these antidepressant pills. I just want to make sure that the parents are very aware and, you know, they know they're conscious about these choices that they're making. And if it's not the right one, just keep watching them in that period when they go on a certain pill to make sure it's the right pill.
Well, I say make sure they get counseling and get off the pill as quick as possible. I think that's borders on drug abuse from the prescriber, if that's the case. If they're prescribing an antidepressant and there's reasons for this person being antidepressant, there's also, to me, there should be a responsibility to also make certain that they get into some kind of program to address the real core of the problem.
Absolutely.
not just to throttle or contain the symptom.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I'm going to go over to Jim now. We got future projects or anything events coming up with regard to your organization you're involved with, Mr. Chairman?
Oh, thank you. Yes, actually, Saturday, September 22nd at Miles Square Regional Park, we have our annual Out of the Darkness Walk. We'll have between 2,000 and 2,500 people there.
Oh, my God.
We do have a LGBTQ presence there, and we actually include the LGBTQ in our opening ceremony. I don't know if you knew that we're at Pride. We have a booth at Pride every year.
No, I did not. We have Orange County Pride.
Yep, and San Diego Pride.
Well, we didn't get you at this Pride. I coordinated the Pride here for Laguna Beach.
We didn't do Laguna Beach. We did.
But next year it's May 31st, yeah, and June 1 and 2.
We didn't do the parade, but we had a booth there. But we also try to go to places where we're not expected. I mean, we marched in a Swallows Day parade. We were just in the Lake Forest parade.
Oh, wow.
We got called to do a jazz festival. We did the food concession. We're at the gun shows. We have a booth at the gun shows, shows at the fairgrounds. We did a couple of music festivals.
Wow. You know,
where we just have a booth set up, and you'd be amazed how many people come by and talk to us.
So I have your permission to put a link on Rainbow Radio website, and along with your Shadi, with your organization, the Stop Bullying one, as a resource. I'll post those on there and post this program on there as well, to share these resources with everyone from these very, very thoughtful people that are spending so much of their time for the betterment of our world, I suppose would be a good thing to say. We have about 4 minutes, no, we have about 7 minutes left. And I have a song queued up, but if there's more topic, I should say again, it's KX93.5 Laguna Beach's only FM radio. And this is Craig, Rainbow Radio, here every Saturday. The topic today is about suicide and suicide prevention in particular. My guests are Shadi, and I will not try and pronounce your last name. How do you say your last name?
Prakashif.
Prakashif. Okay, yes.
Three times fast.
I like Jim. Prakashif. I'm sorry. Prakashif. Jim Taylor. Prakashif. I mean, that is so pretty good. Jim Taylor.
My parents had no imagination, but you can call me Jim A if you want. That's
all
okay.
Right, wow.
Or James. I suppose you got a lot of that,
too. James Taylor. Yes, I do.
So, and James, well, okay, and Jim is from the
American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP.org.
Yes. And they're both here, and we've been talking about things we can do when we're concerned about friends. And one statistic that comes to mind when we're talking about that topic, often you may not know, but if you consider this, there may be an opportunity to see it, that there's 25 attempts suicide before someone is successful. So and they say it is a cry for help. And hopefully people hear that cry. Sometimes it's hard to hear. Is that fair? It's hard to hear that cry.
Sometimes it's a cry for help, and sometimes it's not. I mean, in my case, it wasn't a cry for help. When I woke up from my coma, I was humiliated. I went, everybody's going to think I did this for attention when I really didn't.
Hmm. Right.
You know, I just somebody stepped in and said, not today, buddy.
Two people interviewed that had committed suicide and failed. And came out on the other side, and the one of them said, well, I was angry. It didn't work. I was so pissed at myself that it didn't happen. And then here I am, and she says, but having got past that, I'm grateful, you know. But at the moment, that was their first response.
Was me.
Yeah. Wow. So anyway, we've covered a lot of topics. Is there...
Want to share, if I may. So if you're concerned that your child may be suicidal, I want you to be on the lookout for changes in behavior, angry outbursts, or maybe some mood changes, withdrawal from family and friends, changes in the daily pattern like sleep, appetite, or energy changes. Just be conscious about it. Not that, you know, if you see them not eating as much, you want to say, oh my God, I have to call the suicide hotline. But be conscious about it and just watch them and see what's happening. Keep the conversation going. Make sure that you have that close relationship with your child at all times.
Okay.
And speaking of the Suicide Lifeline, if we can just give that out.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K. That's 1-800-273-8256. Now, there's a bill in Congress right now where they've approved the study to see if we can go to a three-digit, like a 911 for mental health. They've approved the funding. They're doing a feasibility study to see if it could work nationwide. So maybe we'll have like a 311 For mental health, for suicide. But we're making progress at least there. At least now the government's recognizing that this is an issue, this is a solvable issue. And
I hope that's a success. That sounds like a brilliant thing to do, to have that available so easily.
But right now it's an 800 number, 273-TALK.
Okay. And I want to, and also, I guess from my perspective here at Rainbow Radio, I just want to thank you for being the kind of people that you are and in our community and doing what you do. And I think it speaks to everyone. I think the nicest thing and the most powerful thing is bringing it out of the darkness, because I think it liberates it. And it's a fact of life. It happens, you know, and so we shouldn't be ashamed. We shouldn't push it off into a corner and pretend it doesn't exist. It only exacerbates it. The bring it out of the shadows. Talk about it to people. And the other thing I think I learned today, my takeaway, that it's pain that is the most driving force in it.
Yes.
And if you can understand that person's pain and what they're going through, then there's a great possibility that they can have a better life if you can help them with that pain.
Absolutely.
Excuse me, I'm not choking up. I'm just joking.
You're not crying. But, huh?
No, but no. So that was my takeaway today. But anyway, Out Into the Light is a great, and I will post Jim's information about this event that's coming up. And if you want to go and hear him, are you the master ceremony?
I am. But
oh my!
But we do have other speakers, and it's entertaining. We keep the opening ceremony to a minimum. People are there to walk, so
yeah,
they're gonna go walk, and then they're gonna come back. We have a closing ceremony, refreshments, music,
some fresh air, out to meet people.
Exactly, and 2,000, 2,500 people who a lot of them can identify exactly what you're going through too.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well, we're at the end of our session here. Again, KX93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM radio. Thank you, Shadi. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
For being
you
here.
You got my name right.
We're all good. All right. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Rainbow
Thank
Radio, 93.5.
Welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the concrete world. Look at all the plastic. Suffocating boys, suffocating girls. Welcome to my city. Welcome to my, oh my God. Have you heard the